Up next, Dean McMurray back with us. He's called the military medium, so get ready. Guess what we're going to talk about when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dean McMurray back with us. Dean is known as the military medium. He went from serving our country, 24 years in the Army. Thank you, Dean. Decorated combat veteran to serving others as a psychic medium, helping veterans with PTSD, Gold Star families, missing persons, remote viewing, and so many others. Dean, welcome back, and thank you for your service again, Dean.
Hey, George, thank you for your service, and thanks for having me back on. It's always a pleasure to be on the program.
How are you weathering the past year?
Hey, we're doing well, just the same everybody else, just kind of hunkering down and doing one day at a time.
Absolutely. I'm waiting for things to get better so people can get back to their livelihood again, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
How did you become known as the military medium?
You know, that's kind of interesting story. And basically, you know, it takes us back about 11 years. And, you know, I just returned from my last military deployment with the military. And, you know, it was the proverbial, you know, poltergeist scenario that started happening in the home, meaning clocks and pictures started flying off the wall. And I want to say, George, is that I know I've shared this prior, but, you know, I wasn't into, you know, psychics and mediums, and I wasn't into the paranormal. I wasn't looking for any of this stuff, and it just started happening. And quite honestly, I was trying to look for answers, like, what is, you know, what's going on? What does this mean? And my wife, who her and a bunch of girlfriends had been seeing a local psychic, we had the psychic come over to the home, and was jokingly referring to this lady as the voodoo chick. And, you know, and she started connecting to my grandfather, who was a World War I veteran. And I wasn't in the headspace to hear a message from Grandpa, but nonetheless, she delivered that message. And basically, he was telling me that I was going to work with veterans. And I just kind of blew it off because I was thinking, wow, this lady is smoking her own sage. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And, you know, nothing really changed for me. The clocks and pictures were still coming off the wall. It was kind of crazy. And in our home, I had, you know, our kids were very small at the time. And so it was quite chaotic. And, you know, I started really kind of trying to figure out what it all meant until my deceased grandmother came to visit me one evening, and you know, it was just a knowing that washed over me that my grandmother was there. And you know, granted, she passed when I was like 10, so I was like, how do I know that it was grandma? How do I know she's here? And quite honestly, I thought I was, you know, hey, maybe I'm a little freaked out, maybe I watched her program. That logic, right, started creeping in my head. So I went to bed that night just kind of, you know, knowing that she was there. And it was, and I think it's really natural, George, that anybody that, you know, knows that a loved one, that a deceased loved one is there, starts kind of talking to them in their head. And
sure,
that's what I simply did. But there was that skepticism that said, you know, is grandma really here? Why don't you just prove it? And as soon as I said that, she immediately turned the room frigid. It was absolutely...
Whoa.
Right. It's like, hey, I got your attention, right?
And, don't upset Granny.
You're right, yeah. Well, and then basically I went back and I said, well, why don't you just touch me? If you're really here, why don't you just touch me? And as soon as I said that, remember, like it was yesterday, it was a gentle yet firm pressure. I started at the top of my head, went down to the bottom of my feet, and pushed me right into the bed. And it wasn't a paralysis, it wasn't anything evil, but it was like my body simply became heavier than the bed, obviously, and I could hear and feel the springs compress under me. And, you know, of course, the six-year-old little boy in me came out and was like, all right, Grandma, you got to leave, you know, you're starting to freak me out. And...
Did it scare you?
What's that?
Did it scare you?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, it was the come to Jesus moment because I had never experienced anything at that point like that, anything. I mean, you know, you think of all the time in the military, you face a lot of different adversities and dangers, but nothing like that. And it'd be easier to, you know, face down an enemy insurgent, but you know, how do you wrap your mind around, you know, somebody in spirit, especially at that point in my life? Because as I shared earlier, you know, I wasn't open to that at that point.
Right.
But that was my, in a sense, what I call my come to Jesus moment. And
the epiphany, right?
Yeah, right, absolutely. And be like, wow, what was that? And that's what I really call my spiritual awakening, because it was the getting hit over the head with a 2x4 type event that I couldn't deny and I couldn't shake it. And so I started going on a journey, really, of trying to figure out why me, why now, and saying, you know, I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't reading the books. I wasn't following the psychics. I wasn't in that crowd. And it was really because I needed to, little did I know at the time, but it was, hey, I needed to wake up in a hurry, so to speak, and step into my abilities so then I could, in a sense, hone those abilities so I can help people down the road. But of course, you know, when you're going through it, it's like, you know, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. It's just like you're seeing all this craziness, right?
Well, and you've had some highs and lows being a medium, of course. You get the light side, the dark side. You've seen it all, haven't you?
Well, I wouldn't say all, because that's pretty all-encompassing. And I found that every time that we put a limit on something, then the universe has a way of kind of smacking us back down, right, with our egos. But what I would share is that, I've had a lot of interesting, experiences, whether, you know, possession cases or, you know, different types of paranormal anomalies, I guess you would call them, and also even some on the ET side, some extraterrestrial stuff. And that was a really big stretch for me. I really got to admit that, you know, I always, you know, growing up, I always loved the thought that, you know, hey, there's something more out there. But, you know, never really being able to fully commit to that thought until I had my own experience with a client. And it was something that I'll never forget, that's for sure. So,
what is the story of the fruit lady and the mooning lady?
Well, the mooning lady, kind of in chronological order, when I was first developing as a medium, my mentor at the time said, Dean, you got to get out and you got to do readings. And this was at the time, George, that I was very much Dean the soldier by day and Dean the medium by night, because here I am in my last 3 years of military service. And so in the evenings and on weekends, I'm very much doing readings as much as I can. And there was a family friend that came over for a reading, and I still remember it because the lady that stepped forward in spirit, I started getting a description of her, and she lifted her dress, and it was a bare bottom. She wasn't wearing anything. I thought, oh my God, what kind of X-rated?
Careful here, Dean. Right. Family show here.
We're not going to get in, but the thing was is that she just kind of, you know, smacked her bottom and looked at me and go, how do you like that? And I quite honestly turned completely beet red and my jaw hit the table and I said, I don't know how to describe this to you. But I just described it exactly how I saw it. And she started crying and she goes, that's my aunt so-and-so. That's exactly her. Because she was
that kind of person, that personality.
You know, yeah, and the fruit salad lady was an interesting one because it was a local gallery in my area, and I was kind of asking in my mind if some folks in spirit would step forward and kind of make themselves known so I could maybe connect with some of the audience members through spirit. And this older, kind, sweet, older lady stepped forward in spirit, and she said, oh, Dean, you just bring up about the fruit salad, and everything will be all right. And so I described the lady that I'm seeing, and I said, And she talks about a family joke about fruit salad, and this lady rose her hand, and I said, well, you know, how can you validate? And she said, that's my grandmother. And she said, but she's talking about my aunt who is still living. And I said, well, how is that? And she goes, every time my aunt goes to a family function, she brings fruit salad. And I was like, well, that's, jeez, you know, pretty common. But, you know, why is it different, or what's the family joke? And she said, well, every time she makes fruit salad, she waters it down. And, of course, everybody's wondering, why would she water down fruit salad? Because she believes that it makes it diet. Well, of course, this was a new, I guess, evidently a new way of doing it. But, of course, everybody's laughing. And I was like, you can't make that stuff up, as wacky as it sounds. And so it's something that, you know, kind of those zany moments as well that always kind of stick with you. So it's.
But you've had some dark moments, too.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's been, you know, I shared a little bit earlier about some possession cases.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, had a client. In fact, we just celebrated a Vietnam, you know, key Vietnam War Day, right? And this gentleman was actually a Vietnam veteran, as a matter of fact, great Marine Corps veteran. And he was a very straight-laced gentleman, meaning he didn't travel in the circle of paranormal. But he goes, "Hey, are you the guy that does the clearings and works with ghosts and stuff?" And I was like, "Yep, that's me." He's like, "I need you over here." And so I went over to his place. I thought what I was doing was a very, you know, straightforward cleansing or, you know, space clearing.
Mm-hmm.
And everything seemed good to go. I gave him a reading that was attached to it. And, you know, and when I left, everything seemed normal. You know, typically I always do a free follow-up a few days later just to see how it's going. And he got a hold of me 24 hours. He goes, "It's worse." He goes, "There's something actually attaching itself to me before I go to work in the morning." And he goes, "I can feel it." And what, long story short, because it goes on for quite some time, but basically I was really at a loss. I did everything that, you know, I knew to do. And I started connecting to some mentors and other fellow mediums and other folks that I knew did cleansings. And a mentor shared, "Look at his eyes." And I said, "You know," I said, "what am I looking for?" And he goes, "Oh, you'll know. You'll know." And so we did. I did a follow-up session with him. And I looked, you know, I was doing the session with him, and I looked in the eyes, and just for like a split second, it changed to the, you think of the reptilian.
Oh yeah, like,
and it was like,
sure.
And that really threw me for a loop.
The yellowish tinge,
yes,
to it.
Yes, yeah. And I was like, holy, you know what? And I was like, wow. And I was like, okay, now what? So really, what it boiled down to was me completely learning a whole different side of, I guess, you know, what I understood to be reality, and learning how to deal with that. And, you know, and eventually we did get the guy help, and you know, we did help him, but it was a big learning curve. And yeah, it was certainly different, because it wasn't playing by the rules, so to speak. And so it was a little bit different than what a lot of people would classify as something as demonic or evil or whatever. It was playing a completely different game. So,
Dean, how did you hone your psychic skills? Because you got better and better.
Yeah, just by doing it, George. You know, it's just like anything. You know, even if you heard somebody use the analogy of, you know, baseball, and, you know, it's just like, if you want to get better at baseball, you go play baseball. It's not, you can read about it and you can, you know, whatever, but you need to go out and play game after game after game, and, you know, get out on the batting cage and everything else. So all the fundamentals. So, and then it was just practicing. It was really, in the beginning, it was, you know, just get simply a year of giving readings. It wasn't even focusing on, you know, wasn't even taking money for it. And, you know, and once I stepped into and, you know, stepped away from the military and kind of stepped into a full-time piece of being a psychic medium full-time, then it, you know, it was a natural fit. But I had actually planned to work for the local VA full-time, which is kind of ironic. So,
what was the reaction from friends and family when you told them, you know what, I'm going to spend my career as a psychic?
Well, you know, that's a really great question, because when I came out of the quote-unquote closet, you know, and obviously my wife and my family were a very tremendous supporter, but when I kind of came out publicly, I hadn't even told my mom and dad at that point. And so when I was coming out publicly, I was kind of worried, quite honestly. I was like, you know, some of my, you know, superiors at that time, you know, commanders and other non-commissioned officers within the military, you know, could see my social media profiles and stuff, and I didn't want to be, quote-unquote, that guy.
Right.
But then after a while, I kind of, you know, just was like, you know what, I can't hide behind this anymore, and I really need to embrace who I am and my abilities. And so really it was about saying, you know what, the heck with it, and pull the pin and let her buck, and just kind of, you know, let, there were some people that kind of were really intrigued, and there's some people that'll walk away, and you know, other people say, I'll pray for you. So, you know, and wherever they are, that's fine. And, but, you know, getting back to your original question, I was very supported. I'm very, very blessed to have a tremendous, tremendous support network, within my friends and family.
That's great.
From the get-go. Yeah.
It makes it easy.
Absolutely.
Now, when you started working with veterans with PTSD, did you use your psychic abilities there, or was that separate?
No, I think it was a blend, because, you know, when, and this was well after kind of blending in some other modalities, trying to help some fellow veterans that I knew that were being challenged by PTSD. I don't want to say that they were being, you know, kind of owned by it.
Right.
I always kind of hate that labels of, you know, oh, they have PTSD or PTS. It's, you know, there's so much more than that. But, you know, so I was trying to look at a way to help fellow veterans, not only veterans, but first responders and everybody else in between that was dealing with trauma. And, of course, military was the first one that I knew was, you know, I always faced with a lot of, you know, issues. And so, yeah, so, you know, yeah, of course I blended in my psychic medium abilities and blended in some other modalities as well and helped shift the energy around that. And we saw some tremendous, tremendous results. And the cool thing was, George, is I kind of expanded out a program. This was probably a couple years ago. And we did some, like there was a vast age range and generational range where,
you
know, that client spanning all the way from, you know, Vietnam era to
World War II. Did you go back that far?
No, not that far. No, not World War II. Unfortunately, I didn't get any veterans at that time that were the World War II era, but, you know, Vietnam was as far back as I went.
Hold on for a second, Dean. Yep. We're at the break. We'll pick it up right there. And of course, we'll take calls next hour with you. With the Military Medium, we'll take your calls next hour with Dean McMurray. He will also do readings for you. All he needs is a question from you, and he'll run with it. So get ready for the phone calls in about a half hour or so. We'll be back with him in a moment to talk more about his work with veterans and his work in the psychic arena as well. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with Dean McMurray. Dean, we were talking about your work with veterans. I'll let you finish that up before we move ahead with more questions for you.
Absolutely. No, it's certainly been humbling work to work with fellow veterans and just help them move forward. But really, it's just see the tremendous progress that they've been made. But I was sharing before the break is, you know, working with Vietnam veterans all the way up to, you know, folks that are currently in today and currently serving, mm-hmm. and just seeing the progress that they made is just really, really neat to be part of.
Is PTSD associated primarily with battle situations, or do they get that just by being in the military eventually?
Well, I want to share this first and foremost. I'm certainly not a psychologist, so I can't, you know, formally, you know, put a diagnosis on anybody.
Sure, of course.
But, you know, the thing is, though, to George's, you know, PTSD or PTS is really from, you know, a trauma. So regardless of it, you know, whether they experienced in battle or, you know, there's also a huge issue of military sexual trauma going on, for folks also in the military and elsewhere. You know, I know we're talking about military, but let's not forget everybody else out there,
sure.
too. And so they can also, civilians, you know, I know the term is closely, or always thought with the military, but, you know, a lot of civilians are experiencing PTSD. Talk about these shootings that are happening or have happened in the past. It causes all these, you know, traumas, and all of a sudden now, you know, people are going to might have like flashbacks or whatever. So, no, it's not always associated with the, you know, a combat zone, and not everybody that experiences the same event will come out of, you know, have the same trauma. So some might, you know, one person might be fine and the other person might process it a bit different.
Now, you were in the military 25 years. You're a psychic, and they had, of course, the Stargate program years ago with some top military folks, many of whom have been on our program.
Right.
Did you ever get approached by anybody in government about your abilities?
No. No, I like to say that I was just a...
I believe you. I believe you.
A silly grunt, but, you know, I was just an infantry kid, you know, and being silly enough to jump out of planes and put everything on your back and walk around. But, no, very fascinating program. That is something that obviously has a big part of my interest, and, of course, I've read into it and dug a little bit into it as well. But, a lot of different nuances in that aspect. But nothing super sleuth or anything in the military for me. And probably the only thing of interest that I ever went back and uncovered, George, was, you know, really in an event that happened in Afghanistan. And it was really when we were out on night patrol with our vehicles, and the vehicle stopped in the area that it shouldn't have. And I kept on hearing a voice that was very clear, just like you and I are talking, and said, you need to move the vehicles up another 500 meters. And just for clarification, the only people in my vehicle that evening were my machine gunner and the driver, and anybody that's been in a military vehicle, it's not conducive for just chatting because it's very loud.
Exactly.
And so it was something that was very clear. And I keep on going back to that event going, you know, what was that voice? You know, was that my higher self? Was that my guardian angel? And really I chalk it up so it, you know, it really doesn't matter what it is because it was trying to keep us safe. And so it was a really kind of an interesting event, but, you know, always raises questions for sure.
What would you say is your strength in the psychic realm?
You know what I would say is my strongest suit is my clairvoyance and the clairsentient, the clear feeling. A lot of times when I speak, you know, the aspect of I always bring up that I'm, you know, that I can feel. So, you know, I kind of try when I do mediumship readings, I blend my psychic abilities into that as well. And so I always try to feel into it. know it probably sounds kind of corny to some people listening out there, but I figure, well, if you got, you know, some tools on the side, why not use those to augment what you're doing?
Share a few more stories with us if you can, Dave.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the more heartwarming stories story that I would like to share is really about one I call that, I call the Christmas tree angel, and this is going back a number of years. And it was in November, actually. We had just set up the tree, doing all the traditional Christmas stuff, and I had just got home from work, and I'm still in my uniform, and I had noticed by this time, George, it was very common for us to really see spirit out of the corner of our eye in our home. So if there's somebody there for a reading or whatever the case is in spirit, they usually just started showing up. And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll get to you or whatever. Hey, I can see you. And I really didn't really think much of it until the evening because, you know, we were busy getting the kids to dinner and all that great stuff. And then when my wife and I had a chance to sit down at the end of the evening after the kids went to bed, we started chatting. And I said, hey, you know, talking about this person in spirit. And so I started connecting to this individual and giving a description to my wife, and my wife started crying. And, you know, by this point, we have been married quite a number of years, and probably 10 years, because we're going back about 5 years. And I was like, you know, what did I say? What did I do? You know, do I need to run out and get flowers? And she said, oh, my God. She goes, I haven't thought about this guy or that kid in years. And basically what it was is she grew up with, when she was young, this other kid in her rural area, and he ended up taking his own life. And and she actually was going to go over and play with him that day, drove her bike over to his house. And of course the police and the coroner and everybody were there. It was just a big show, and it was a mess, and she kind of blocked it out, honestly. And so when I connected to it, obviously it was difficult for her, but you know, getting back to the tree, and she was like, well, what does he want? And I said, well, he's talking about the tree and how he's missing Christmas. And then he kind of wedged himself behind the tree and talking about a ornament on the tree. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, I like your angel on your tree. And then so I got up and I looked, and I don't know if you're like me, George, but most of the things on the tree, I remember, like, hey, we got that on a trip, or the kids made this, or whatever the case is. And here was this clear plastic angel that was playing a harp. And my wife nor I ever remember buying it. And it was clearly, like, brand new. So it was just, like, manifested on this tree. And it was absolutely crazy. And I'm standing there, like, just, you know, trying to rack my brain. And I said, oh, my God. I said, it isn't even ours. I said, we're not supposed to have it. And my wife was like, what are you talking about? I said, you're supposed to send it to, and it was friends of ours that live about an hour north of us. And they lost their children, a number of years prior. And they have since went on to have another set of healthy children. But basically what it was is, you know, we were being guided to send this plastic angel to them. And she wrote a simple note, you know, from a friend with love. And it sat on our hall room table for, a good week. And here, you know, we got in a little argument one evening, like, I thought you sent it, and, you know, back and forth. And so, of course, what I do, I had to run down in the middle of the night, get it mailed.
Yeah, get it done.
Well, right. But the thing was, with all that, the reason I share is because it was the right timing, because around that time, or the day that it was delivered, our friends of ours, actually it was the anniversary of the children passing, and every year the hospital did a memorial. And the piece was is that they were really bummed because they couldn't go that year, because they're now children that they have now we're doing a Christmas play. And so they were kind of torn, like, hey, we're glad we get to go to the school, do this, but yet we're torn that we can't go to the memorial. Very emotional day for them. They went to the play with their kids. They come back. Here's the package with the angel waiting for them at the doorstep, the perfect time, the perfect day. And they open it up, and of course, and they open it up, and they knew it immediately, you know, the symbolism behind mm-hmm. it. And yeah, it was kind of, and when we got,
I bet that broke them up, didn't it?
Well, right, and it kind of broke us up too, because it was just very emotional. I was like, that's what it's all about. And that's why I turned my wife and go, that's what it's all about. About, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's not about anybody else. I said, it's about being, you know, part or being able to help other people. So, you know, I always like to say, just being the vessel. So it's not about, you know, all the other hoopla that goes along with it.
We're going to take calls with Dean McMurray next hour. Questions about the psychic realm that he works in. And also, he will do readings. He'll need your name, which obviously we give him when you call in. And then a question. What kind of questions do you want, Dean? Anything?
You ask any question you want.
Okay. How long does it take you to get into that mode?
Oh, it's right away.
Instant.
Yep.
Instant. And is this genetic? Is there anybody in your family that has this ability?
Well, supposedly an aunt on my dad's side did. She used to read tea leaves, evidently. I never did meet her.
Uh-huh.
And I know my sister is very clairaudient, meaning she is very, has ability to hear. But, you know, a lot of times I like always saying, George, is that I believe we all have this ability, and it's just whether or not we, you know, choose to develop it or not.
On our own.
On our own, right.
Who would you say has been your greatest influence, Dean?
Ooh, great question. You know, I would say my greatest influence probably would be my wife, because quite honestly, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have developed into a medium.
So she encourages us.
And she encouraged it, because number one, it wasn't going away, but number two, she believed in me when, you know, I didn't believe in myself and I thought it was all a bunch of baloney, and I was ready to walk away. Because again, remember, I wasn't looking for it, and in fact, I was going in a completely different direction in life, and she was like, no, I really think, you know, she encouraged it. She didn't demand it, you know, but she was my biggest, you know, cheerleader. And
you need that.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do.
I've got a couple websites for you, DeanMcMurray.com and TheMilitaryMedium.com. Are they both still operational?
Yes, sir, they are.
All right, cool. Now, can people contact you through your websites?
They can. Yeah, you can drop me an email. There's a form right on there to contact me. Or you can do that on social media, too. You can drop me a direct message as well.
What are your next projects? What are you working on?
Oh, we're getting back slowly to some very, very limited in-person events, which I'm really excited about. And then also some classes and other things. But, you know, it's always changing, and we're trying to be as careful as we can. Of course, sticking to a lot of online events, but the best thing is, it's just as far as future stuff, you know, find me out on social media, The Military Medium, if you want to find events, because it's always changing.
Exactly. What state do you live in, Dean?
North Dakota.
North Dakota. All right, cool. That's a great area. We get a lot of calls from North Dakota, too. You'll probably get a few.
Absolutely.
Tonight. And what's the weather like these days?
Well, you know, actually today we got some high wind warnings. I know they had some gusts close up to 80 miles an hour, which is...
Jeez, that's tornado winds.
Yeah, almost, right? So it's, you know, it's springtime in the Dakotas, and we're going into a drought. So not good for the farmers.
Do you ever get calls from law enforcement saying, we need your help? Does that happen with you?
I have not from law enforcement, but I have from... you know, family members or concerned individuals, you know, different people within the family. So, you know, but direct family. And I make it a hard, fast rule that, you know, I won't work, you know, if somebody is not a family member, I'm not going to, you know, all of a sudden start picking up a case. I have a lot of boundaries around working missing person cases and different things.
What has been one of the saddest things you've had to cover?
Ooh, you know, I think one of the saddest ones we were working, and this was actually that long ago, and there was a gentleman, an elderly gentleman that was missing, and I was working, I think it was with a granddaughter, trying to find him. And we were kind of narrowing it down, but unfortunately, we just didn't get him. And unfortunately, he was found, you know, really close to the area where he left.
Did he die?
Yeah, unfortunately, he did. Oh, yeah, gee, he succumbed to the elements. And
just kind of like wandered off because of his age?
Yeah, and it was winter time, and it's pretty hard. The weather is unforgiving here. And so.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break at the top of the hour here and come back with Dean McMurray and take phone calls, questions about the psychic realm. If you want a reading, just go right into your question as well. And we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. So don't touch your dial.